He never got into Kenny Loggins, did he?
Kenny Loggins, great. Hey, man, how well is this going to be seen? You know, because remember after the Leno show.
Oh, my goodness. Dude, you're a famous person. Oh, yeah. Look, so we'll throw this in. We'll go ahead and start. This is all recording. So I'll tell them. Guys,
this is brought to you by Waterloo.
Oh, sodium, Waterloo. Dude, dude, you got to watch out for the sodium in those sparkling waters, man. ladies and gentlemen, we're just getting into it right now. We're just going to flow. I don't even want to stop and introduce right now. I just kind of want to continue with what we're doing, and I'll get to introductions in just a second. I will say this is Rhett. You don't need to know anything else until we go on a little further. But you're going to hear a lot of Rhett. I don't want to explain the times that we laugh all the time. Yeah. You know, like right now, because we say. Well, I mean, look, we just said sodium water, and we laugh, both laugh. No one else knows. There's going to be a lot of inside stupid jokes tonight. just stupidness. I love this. I'm happy about this. Rhett, you know what? I am going to get into it now. We're going to banter throughout. This is our famous segment called the Banter Beat. It's a Gallup poll, took a survey of, the number of people who like, banter. And could you guess what the result was?
Probably a lot. I don't know. Probably a lot.
And you're right. It was a lot.
Yeah.
And those are facts. It was a lot. So we always love the banter. Banter beat. Wait. And play the theme song, theme music. And the logo now and the fire. I just put so much on my editor. I put so much for my editor.
This episode is presented by MSP GeekCon 2023. Conference for MSPs by MSPs. Occurring May 21st through the 23rd, 2023 in Orlando, Florida, this two-day event is built around the journey of technical growth from Tier 1 to Tier 3. If you're interested in attending, speaking, or sponsoring the event, visit mspgeekcon.com for more information.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to 38 at 38, this wonderful podcast where I get to talk about all the 38 jobs that I've had. One new job I'll discuss every episode, and I'll discuss that job with a very special guest each week, a close friend of mine or an acquaintance or someone I just met down the street. It doesn't, no, of course it matters, but they're going to talk about something that we all have in common, which is like the worst job or the most ridiculous job. We all have one of those. So I would like to introduce a very, very good friend of mine. We've actually had some jobs in the past. I don't know if we're going to get into them or not, but together. And we've known each other for a while. This is Mr. Rhett Mullins. His first and middle name are the same. Rhett R. What's R stand for? Rhett Mullins. Say hi, Rhett. Tell us more about you.
More about me. Yeah. I mean, ever since Aaron and I met, you know, I feel like we get it on the same, you know, sarcasm and comedy level, and I respect your comedy. Dude, I just love hanging out with you and just like you said, just banter. But anyway, yeah.
Real quick, what's the favorite story? What's your favorite story that you have of me and you? Like for favorite little story or first one that comes to mind.
Oh man, dude, there's so many. There's so many. If the first thing that comes to mind, probably like Beavers, maybe.
Yes.
Maybe Jim Beavers.
That night, making fun of Jim Beavers. That's right. That's good. And that night started because I was swinging by your house. I didn't let you know. I was just going to come by. And if you remember, I hit the, I called you because I wanted you to let me in. And you picked up and said, bro, I'm watching Top Gun right now. And it's at the volleyball scene. And my response to you was press pause and let me in your gate. And you're like, okay, you weren't expecting me at all. And then, yeah, that same night, we just had a fun all night. That was the birth of Kenny Loggins or Kenny Loggins.
It was. Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't know much you wonder about me, but you wonder about like what I do.
Yeah. What do you do? What industry have you been in the most and what do you do?
Yeah. So the most I've been in is, by the way, real quick, Ben's interview, his seating was amazing. Like I feel like all he needed was, All he needed was a pipe. All
right, the last one. Yeah.
His leg was crossed, you know? Oh, yeah. He was kind of looking to the side, you know? And the hair, and I'm like, he just needs a pipe. Like one of those hunter's jackets, a quarter right here, you know? Anyway.
Isn't he the daddest of dads?
He's the daddest of dads. I was waiting for a kid to come. So they, come over here.
Come over here, buddy.
Say hi to the man.
Yeah, say hi. Oh, you little scamp. Tuffles there.
Yeah. I'm in construction business, and I have been for quite a long time. It went from musician to construction and a bunch of nonsense in between. And so now I work for a developer builder, and I'm on the executive team, and kind of it's a little part of operations, a part of, you know, pre-construction, it's a part of sales, part of estimating. So it kind of take care of the front side of our business for our team. And, it's a very successful business. We do a lot of work, so there's a lot to it. There's a lot of crying.
Crying. There's a lot of crime.
Nothing will defeat you or destroy you more than in the construction industry. Nothing. Just soul.
Oh, especially compared, even like, here's the artistry of like the creator of this design all the way to, all right, that's your heart, that's your love, this is what we can do. It's like, oh, well, that's soul crushing right there.
It's so bad. It's so bad. So, but it's a good company to work for, and I'm blessed to have the job I have. Let me tell you, I've paid my dues to get here.
Yeah. And you know, listeners, Red is being very, humble right now. He is, phenomenal in what he does when it comes to there's so many things I've seen you endeavor in that you've just succeeded at, and this construction industry is one of them. And your skill level is noticeable in those fields. So good on you. We've known each other now for 17 years.
Has it been that long,
bro?
Wow.
Nuts, right? Known you almost half our lives. We've known each other.
It's crazy. My gauge of time is so bad. Like, I could swear I've had the same. I could swear I've had 10 Mondays in a row. I mean, just recently. So my gauge of time is just.
Have you not?
It's like since I got back from vacation, it's like every day has been Monday. You know,
every day.
And why?
And you don't even have any lasagna. Sorry, Garfield.
Oh my goodness. Just hit you in the face. I feel like I've been wearing the week on me, but.
Oh, well look, well it's time for you to shed your stress. Right?
Yeah.
That's something the smart people say. All right. So listen, I want to get into these job stories. So here's the thing. Rhett tells us his worst job story or his most ridiculous job story. We talk about it. And then I talk about one of my 38 jobs, from a quote that he's to give me, not now. But the first time me hearing this quote when he tells me and you guys hear it, then I've got to talk about that quote. I'm excited about this. But first, before that, we're starting a little. Now this is January. I mean, we're recording December, but this is coming the first Friday of January. It's going to be so Happy New Year, Christmas, Happy New Year. So this is a 2023 campaign that we're starting for 38 at 38. We want to get the most ridiculous jobs, and I like to have BFGs. Like that's a big freaking goal. You got to have the big freaking goal. And my big freaking goal, one of my big freaking goals for 38 is to get the one guest that would be like the best guest to have for the worst jobs. Like Rhett, who do you think that would be? Like the one person, famous person who would be the best person to talk about all the worst jobs in the world.
Like truly famous person, like an actor or something?
Yeah, or an actor or, you know, dude, Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Ooh, yeah, Rowe, that's a good one.
Right? But that's a good, pretty good goal, right?
It's a good goal.
Yeah, why not?
That's a good goal.
Why not?
That's a goal. I feel like anytime you're cruising the TV and something's on with Mike Rowe, you stop and watch.
Absolutely. You know? Very intelligent guy.
It's the voice.
Very intelligent guy.
He's got a voice like that.
And that's the only way I know he's intelligent is that voice.
Yeah.
And he just like, makes you feel stupid.
Yeah. It's like Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott's got an awesome voice. You can almost hear the mustache just, you know, rustle in the microphone when he's talking. You know, and you hear like an ice cold court, you know, beard.
Always. You know, I don't think it really is Sam Elliott until I hear the mustache rustle the mic.
It's amazing. I mean, if there's ever a man's
is that Sam Elliott? No, that's a deep fake. No. I don't hear any.
If there's ever a man's man, it's that guy, man.
It is that guy.
He was born a mustache and just grew around it.
Born a mustache.
By the way, I'm pretty sure did this concept that you're doing right here, the 30 for 38 or 38, I'm pretty sure you and I had a conversation about this like 16 years ago, and we were literally counting all the jobs and we had a contest like who had the most. So I'm telling you right now, dude, I might be your best guest that you've had and or will have this whole season or however long.
So see, this is why. Red. So you jumped the gun of what I was going to say was one of the reasons this is going to be such a great conversation is for two reasons. Number one, you were the first time I've ever thought about this. Like when it comes to the beginning thoughts about, you know, there was a time when I first thought to make this into a podcast, but the only reason I thought about that was because you and I sat down and wrote a list out. And then I started thinking about that. And so that's one amazing reason why this is going to be such a good podcast. The other one is that you rivaled me. So
I did, bro. I had you.
I know.
I had you.
Probably still do, man.
I did. Do you know? So facilities manager at Cricket Apartments. Yeah. I had the
Cricket Apartments. Dude, I talk about I have a new class of adults every month. And in each class, I have a story about Cricket Apartments in there.
Amazing.
I was at Cricket Apartments and I was like, guys, it wasn't called Cricket Apartments because it's a great apartment complex.
I just remember you actually telling me you live there and I'm like, no, you live there? No, like, nobody lives there, please.
No.
You're like, no, the rent was good and I had a friend with me. I'm like, what?
No, you have all your teeth and you know how to drive a car. You can live there.
Oh, it was rough.
But I was living there when I snagged my wifey.
Nice.
All personality. She was like, ooh. If it wasn't personality, I would not be with this dude.
Awesome. I forget what it was. There was a comedian one time. He had this thing where he's like, he every day he wakes up, he looks at his wife. He's just like, I'm sorry. That's what I do. I'm sorry.
I apologize.
Yeah, I apologize.
All right. So I want to get into your worst job story. So Rhett, hit us with it. What is your worst or most ridiculous job story? And I think come up on the mic just a little bit when you're talking.
Hold on. I was trying to get the key right. Okay. All right.
Take my breath away.
For sure. I thought about this since you told me about it.
Let me ask before you, how many jobs do you have? Do you know?
I was thinking about that too. And I'd have to reset. So much of that has been burned out of my memory.
Dude, if you can figure it out, and then we're going to put it on the screen right now. So just say I've had whatever amount of jobs. Just say I've had blank amount of jobs.
It's probably been 46.
Okay. 46. Whatever that is, if it's wrong, it's going to be me. Over voicing like 38,
30, yeah. 46.
Yeah. 46.
Hold on. Let me just give you some guesses. I can count them all. 38, 39, cut.
Give it off.
40, cut. Give me options. Hey, that's how it was at the Leno show. When I did the Tonight Show, like we filmed three endings.
Oh, dude,
like,
tell that story, man.
Yeah, man. That was great. So, you know, in construction, right? And for those of you who don't know, I went from playing music to touring a little bit to, you know, delivering pizzas. And then I went to construction. I was traveling a lot with construction. So I was doing a project in LA and we were meeting somebody and his flight got delayed or whatever. So, okay, let's go kill some time. And Aaron knows my friend, Mike Elliott. He is an amazing human being. And I wish it was three screens. I wish it was the three of us.
Absolutely. Dude,
we gotta make that happen. We have to make that happen.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, if we get him, pulled out of his shell. Anyway, so okay, let's go to that, you know, where the Chinese theater thing is, where people put their hands on. So we went down there. Somebody was handing out free tickets, And it's one of those things where like you're walking and they're handing stuff out, and I made eye contact with a guy. I'm like,
I gotta go.
He's like, hey man, what are you guys in town for? I'm like, ah, we're just killing time. He's like, you want to go to tonight show? I said, sure, why not? So he gave us tickets. Somehow we got to Burbank, and they filmed the show early. Like, you know, this is obviously happening. They filmed it early. They and they played the same night though, so they filmed like 4 o'clock. So we went to the show. This guy comes out, you know, I guess he's a comedy fluff guy, right? You know, the opener.
Hey,
he's
guy. Like,
hey, he is funny looking. Canadian tux.
Hey, oh.
By the way, not a nicer human being ever, Jay Leno.
Really?
There's not a nicer human being, and I would imagine in showbiz that you'd ever meet than that guy. Amazing.
Really?
That's absolutely awesome. So, show's over with, and the guy who we were meeting, he had landed. So, I mean, Burbank to LAX, if you've never been there, it may not be that far, but it takes forever. So, like, oh, we gotta go. So, I was taking a picture, yeah, the Tonight Show, Jay Leno sign. I was played in the beginning of the thing, so I was taking a picture of my friend next to that sign. This guy taps me on the shoulder, and he says, hey man, where are you from? And I'm like, what in the, I'm like, I'm from Tampa. And, he said, hey man, you should go be on Jaywalking. They had told us before the show that they were going to film just jaywalking, you know, footage. So I look over there, and the line is like 500 people deep.
Wait, and where is this?
This is right. They were doing it right outside the studio.
Right outside, of course. Okay.
Yeah, they did it in different places, but this was right outside the studio. So
wasn't it nighttime that you were?
Yeah, it was nighttime.
Yeah.
Well, at that time of the year, it was more like winter, and it was probably 5:30. It had gotten kind of dark, you know. So, So anyway, I'm like, there's no way. He's like, oh, I know Jay Leno. I'll get you in the front of the line. And I'm like, sweet, what's going to happen here?
This, right, right. You know, this, oh, an adventure.
Yeah. I thought he was trying to sell me something. I don't know.
Right. And you came back with one less kidney.
Oh my goodness.
Moral of the story, do not.
By the way,
trust Jay Leno.
Remind me, I need to tell you the Scientology story in New York City. I don't know if I ever told you that. That's a whole other one.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Write it down.
I will. But so anyway, he literally gets us to the front of the line. People are looking. So I had this just dirty like Rolling Stones t-shirt on, and I had a trucker hat, and I was probably like, I'm from Tampa.
I'm from Tampa, like, Florida.
Yes, it sounded that bad. So it was me and Mike, and dude, you know, my family is very religious. Yeah. And they all watch. Very conservative Christian. Yeah. And so they love watching Jay Leno. And I watched tonight, you know, the jaywalking. I knew he was going to ask me something racy, you know, at some point. It was like foreign phrases. He's like, what's Los Angeles translate to? I'm like, the angels. You know, he's like, what is soup du jour? And I'm like, at the time I didn't even pay attention. Didn't know what that was. Honestly, I hate to admit that, but I didn't. It wasn't that cultured. So then he goes, what's a menage a trois? And I'm like,
nope.
I don't know. I'm not sure. I've never heard of that. And he's like, yeah, I had a hunch.
Yeah.
I'm like,
how old were you? Early 20s.
Yeah, early 20s. Yeah. Like, I just got burned by Leno. How awesome is that? Mike was after me. Mike was after me. Dude, he took a selfie with me and everything. And that wasn't the camera sucked. Like, he was such a cool guy. So Mike went, and Mike, of course, was like, it's a threesome.
Hot diggity. He drew a picture.
Yeah. So, of course, Mike, this is filmed 2 weeks before that thing airs.
Right.
I got on. My clip got on. Bro, I had people, this is what I was talking about earlier. I had people, you know, like you went through stages in life, maybe with your family, where maybe they had some friends and their friends had kids. And so you hung out with them for a few years, but then you lost contact.
Yeah.
You know, I had a lot of friends like that over the years. Every person I think I ever met in my entire life saw that clip. I had like friends who are like, you know, in special forces Afghanistan. They're like, yeah, man, I saw that. It was hilarious. I'm like,
you have a call from, from an inmate. You have a call from an inmate.
Yo, I like your clip.
Hey man, man, you funny dog. You ain't know what I'm not just following
it. It's amazing. So anyway, it went crazy. They invited me back. I did the Jaywalking All Stars. They paid me for that. That was awesome.
Did they pay you for that?
They paid me $750, bro.
What?
And
I was out and stuff, right?
Flew me out first class. I had my own dressing room next to Billy Bush, that class act.
Wow.
Yeah.
La-da.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, that was, I don't know. I guess we got on that trip, but that was crazy.
No, dude. Because I said, oh, how you got on that trip or that, the story.
Yeah.
I asked you to. That's a great story, yeah. Man.
Love yeah, that man. Story. That was a fun time. But yeah, for me, the worst job for me, for sure, by far.
Wait, real, before we go to the worst job, yeah. Is that clip online?
On yeah, I've tried to find it. My parents have it. They've saved it. I wish. Yeah. I've tried to find it and I can't.
Dude, if you but can here, get it, here's I'll the put thing. It on my YouTube
that,
channel.
That clip, that Menage a Trois clip, or the yeah, that clip, when he did his finale show twice.
Yeah, I
that
remember.
That clip made the best of jaywalking, dude. Now, he'd been doing that for 25 years, bro.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Dude, because you're it, bro.
Yeah,
because
you're I don't know it. About that.
You,
I don't know
I, about well, that. You don't have to know about it. I know about it. I've got it tattooed on my back. Rhett is it.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. All right, so, yes, Rhett.
Yeah.
Let's hear. What's that worst job story?
Oh, for sure. So yeah, I went through thinking about all this stuff, and I'm hoping you remember me telling you about this job. Really do.
Okay.
So I was at this weird stage where I was playing music, you know, but I wasn't really working full time. I was probably doing some restaurant stuff or delivering pizzas or whatever before kind of was playing all the time. And this is back in the day. You looked in like paper, you know, some sort of print. Press oh, yeah. Form for jobs.
For the classified ad. Yeah, or the flyer.
Yeah. Remember yeah, was, the flyer? Yeah, the flyer. The flyer was the other halfway decent one.
Not even a flyer.
It just went downhill. Then it went to like, yeah. Then it went to, what was it? Craigslist.
Yeah,
and
Craigslist.
Then it
went to, maybe then, a brochure.
I don't know,
maybe
back some... page. I don't know. It went downhill quick.
It went really bad.
But, so it was this ad. It was like, hey, sound, you know, working sound equipment for venues, nightclubs, theaters. And I thought, man, that's awesome. You know, I love, you know me, I love music.
Yeah.
I love technology. I love electronics. So I was like, sweet. I called up like, yeah, come on in for such and such for an interview. And you probably start the same day. And I thought, okay, all right. So it was back in that area where the old tag office used to be, you know,
where the
kind of back over there where the tag office used
to
be.
Yeah.
Industrial area, you know, kind of like those flex place spaces. So I go to the address that's on there, like I knock on the storefront glass and somebody kind of opened, it was locked, kind of opens, like, yeah, go around back to the loading dock. I'm like, okay, all right, cool. So I may even have the paper in hand. I don't know. But, so I go back there.
It's a windy day. You're trying to hold on.
Yeah. So it looks abandoned, right? It looks like there's nobody's leasing the space, or if they are, they should start leasing it. I don't know. So I go back around this like chain link fence. And if you've been back there, you kind of know what I'm talking about, how the flex space. So they had like ramps where that you back into the, you know, the old garage parts
back
of the office. So I kind of walk up this ramp and there's like two vans and they're just like, I wouldn't say inventory, you know, but they had stuff there. You know?
Dude, I remember. I know where this story's going. But this is already way more info than I've known so far.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I've really thought about it a lot. Over the years. Good.
Okay, go.
Okay, so I'm like, yeah, I'm here, and it's like, you know, guys like loading stuff out of the van. He's like, what? You know, I'm like, hey, I'm here for the job. He's like, oh yeah, come over here, go in the office and fill something out. Wow, I filled something out, and I'm just kind of standing there, and they're not acknowledging me, not saying, hey, man. It's not even an interview. It's almost like there's a,
or even
like, almost like there's like action going on, and I'm just like the guy that they hired to drive the car. It was so weird. It was very weird.
Getaway driver.
Getaway driver. I'm so weird. I'm like, mom, how am I explaining this job to my parents? Oh, yeah. So.
And how old are you?
I don't know, dude. I was once again 21, 22, maybe 19, maybe
right. Well, think
19
about
or 20.
Dude, that's important, dude. What do you know? What did you know at 19 or 20?
I wanted to, you're around,
you're freshly a man and you're around grown men who are doing something.
Yeah, they even have like the hat, the little hat, you know, I mean the leather jacket.
And you're like, think back, look, take the time right now and think back at that moment from the perspective of one of those grown men seeing 19-year-old kids.
Yeah. I can imagine. Yeah, so somehow this guy, you know, jeans and like a, you know, just like a white shirt or whatever, he's like, yeah, man, you're going to ride with me. Yeah, just get in this van and yeah, we're going to go get stuff to do. So I'm like, all right, cool. We're going to drive somewhere. We're going to set up speakers. Like I said, it was boxes of stuff, but it really wasn't even a lot of box stuff. It was like new speakers, you know, like PA equipment.
Right.
Like the Sony boomboxes, just not, but it wasn't Sony. It was like Sonar or I don't know.
Sonia.
Yamahishi, you know, whatever. So brands I'd never heard of.
Hitago.
Brutal. So anyway, we're driving and we're headed towards like Ebor. It's like, I don't know, 8:39 in the morning. I mean, they did start, you know, regular good hours. So I'm like, yeah, I guess we're going to one of these places and we're going to be fixing some sound equipment. Man, what a skill to learn, right? You know, I love electronics. What a skill. Right, I'm going to learn a skill.
It's all your setup. You're doing setup. You're doing, sound engineering. It sounds
like. I probably said that in the ad. I'm like, yes. So, I soon realized we're actually not going anywhere. We're just driving. We're just driving.
You have no endpoint.
But there's no place we're going to. We are just driving.
On a back road. You went from a main road to back road to a main road and you never went anywhere.
Now, besides the fact that, you know, it's burning fuel and, you know, we got to protect the environment. I was thinking about those things. I thought, I'm going to die.
Yeah. Yeah, you're finding the best place to dump my body.
I thought I was going to die. So I realized, I don't know, about the same time that this is a totally different type of marketing campaign than I was ever used to, you know? So he would be at a red light. And it's funny, as this happened to me today, this guy in a van, he kind of made eye contact with me. And I was like, okay, don't let me know. Because what they do is they pull up to a red light and they were looking for people who had cash on them.
Oh yeah.
You know, which I was just dumb. I was blown away how much people actually carried cash on them. One more when I, you know, kind of got into this a little bit with them. So, none of this was illegal. This is all legal. It's just being bizarre. So he'd be at a red light and he'd be like, hey man, hey, you need some speakers? And whoever's in the car, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, yeah, we were on a delivery and my boss, we had extra supply. And he said, you know, just, you can have it or just get rid of it. And so the person in the car, I mean, dude,
I was shocked. It was like 50-50.
Yeah. Where they'd be like, yeah, pull over. Yeah. I'll take a look. Dude,
and then I thought more and more. I thought, man, I might actually be like, yeah, dude, pull that thing up for let's see what you got.
How much is it? How are you going to try to get a job and leave?
But the difference is I wouldn't have had cash. I'd have been like, well, yeah, I need to think about it.
Yeah, this is way before Venmo.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I remember specific areas. Pulled over near Mosey one day. And it wasn't even like they pulled in the shop. They just pulled off the side of the road in the grass sometimes, you know? They just...
On an 8-lane highway. Just
the best part though was when inevitably this always happened. There's maybe like one guy that was like, yeah, it looks good. But everybody would be like, oh, what brand is that? Y'all got them Sonys? Y'all don't even have Philips.
Y'all got LB? This is LB. LB.
Yeah, LB. This is JB. Yo, where's the L?
This is Samsung. Samsung.
Yeah. So inevitably that would always happen, but so I would say, you know, a pullover rate was probably like 40%. Crazy.
That's a lot.
He would be driving, and I also remember the Target in Temple Terrace driving, you know, how like you're coming out of the store and you gotta kind of wait. Our car is going to go. This is a pedestrian walkway to get to drop cars. Somebody would be walking. He kind of pull up beside him and be like, yo, hey. Hey man, you need some speakers? What? TV? You got TV? And I'm just like, oh my god.
It's like, I do need speakers. And rather than going inside the store I just left that has,
I'll buy from this very nice man in a white van.
We bring it to you.
We would take cash.
That's so great.
So the one of the funny things was later on, I was telling Chris Dermoff, which you know Chris Dermoff, and for those of you who don't know Chris Dermoff, I'm sorry because, man, such a funny guy. So Chris, cause you know, Chris had a band at the time too. And I remember him telling me, he's like, he had a singer at the time and the band's name was Greg. He's like, dude, that's where Greg got our PA speakers. He told me he got this awesome deal from this guy in a van in Bloomingdale at a shopping center. And I'm like, oh,
Yeah, yeah. Like, he said the boss, like they had extra inventory.
It wasn't boss, it was Saab. It was just horrible. It was, yeah, awful. I mean, realistically, electronics like that, it's kind of all the same, but even still, it was so weird. And so, I mean, we are doing this for, I mean, we're pounding the streets, dude. We're doing this for hours. We may have stopped for lunch, I don't know, but I just thought, I cannot wait to get out of this, man. I'm never coming back.
Are you even thinking like, am I going to get paid? Like, is this right, part of the
deal? Right,
job?
So that was the deal. Here, that was the deal. Guess what they made money? Guess what money they made? They had to give a portion of it to whatever this place was they were getting these speakers from.
Obviously, yeah.
Right, and then they got whatever was left. I think kind of what they did, they kind of bought inventory for the day. Kind of like a vending. Those guys are probably vendors at like Hot Dog or, you know, like games now.
Yeah.
Cause that's how it works with those guys too. Maybe it's different with the digital stuff now, but that's how it was. They basically had to buy that out, you know, and then kind of buy, you know, give the stand the money back. But, so that's how they made money. I'm pretty sure he told me, he's like, yeah, no, I walk with $75 a day or something. And whatever it was at the time, you know, it didn't sound unreasonable for the amount of money that he was making. It didn't sound crazy. But I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, I hope they don't ask me to do this, like now. Like, hey man, go ahead, man. Give yourself a try. Get your legs wet, buddy. Get your legs wet.
Well,
you know
what I don't understand? Why do they need someone else? What was the purpose of you?
I guess they wanted to have more vans. You know, they wanted to get another van out on the street. Yeah. Just gotcha. Guerrilla marketing, bro.
Golly. Dude, I mean, how long do you have to hire someone and have a relationship and know them in a line like that for you to feel safe and comfortable to say, here's a key.
I don't know, man.
You're never getting that van back. You're never getting your speakers back.
I don't even know if I ever told my parents about that job. I don't think I did. Son, this is why you need to work a normal job. Anyway.
Dude, when they have their 40 or their 50th wedding anniversary party, I want you in your toast, I want your whole toast to be this story.
And then just stop there and then be like, what was that about?
And then be like, to Wade and Linda.
I always wanted to please you, Dad. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, dude, that's such a good story. Dude, I did not. So wait, so what happened? How long did you work there?
I mean, we didn't go back. I mean, we were out for like 6-7 hours. I didn't go back after that day. So the thing is,
did he ever give you money?
Yeah, I think he gave me like $25. So that's why I classified it as a job. If not, it was like a hostage situation. Ridiculous. That was
the whole day in the back of a van. Hey, kiddo, get in the van with the boxes. Yeah.
Go ahead, get your feet wet. Try this one. I did remember I had to ask, like, we, on Templeton, like, Bush Boulevard, you know, where it's three lanes, you know, in the middle lane. Of course somebody's just driving and you see this van, it kind of pacements you. You just, hey, you gonna buy some speakers? The rest of the people are like, nah, I'm gonna speakers.
I'm driving.
So dumb.
I'm driving. Oh my goodness. That's so
pull over. But let me show you my boss and I could get rid of him.
Dude, that is how people get murdered. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that was also my close to death story. Crazy.
Dude.
I went back the next day to like, and everything was gone.
Was it really?
Yeah, I think maybe it was a week. I went back a week to turn some papers in or something.
And sticking with it?
Yeah. No, I had to like turn something in for the taxes. I don't know, whatever it was, but, because I wasn't sure.
It was a tough point in my life.
It was a tough point in my 19 years.
I just wanted to play music, dude. That's all I wanted to do.
Yeah.
I didn't care. I mean, that's, dude. Stripping tubs with airplane stripper in no ventilation, you know, that was brutal.
Right. That was a horrible bar mitzvah.
There was so many of them, dude. There's so
worst bar mitzvah ever. Thank you so much. That's a great story. This is episode 8. That is definitely, I would say in the top half, man. I don't want to put anyone up or down, or but definitely in the top half. All right. Dude, that's so great. Right before, so we're about to talk about my job that you picked out, but right before we do so, we're going to take a real quick break to thank the sponsors of this episode.
Today's episode of 38 at 38 is brought to you by CyberDrain's Capture the Flag, a CTF oriented at system administrators and engineers instead of cybersecurity experts. This event is designed to test the skills of everyone in the MSP space so that they can show off what they can do. Beginning February 14th, 2023, with no cost to enter, anyone anywhere in the world is welcome to join up to 1,000 players. And to get an idea of the amazing prizes up for grabs, take a look at last year's awards, including a streamer starter pack, a PS5, a Nintendo Switch, and thousands of dollars in Amazon gift cards, plus more. Be sure to visit ctf.cyberdrain.com to register today.
And we're back. What's up? All right. So, Rhett, I can't wait to hear which quote you picked for me. And so lay it on me, man. What quote was this?
It definitely would be, I need you to work the erogenous zone today.
Yes. Okay, good.
It's like, you can only imagine what you're a massage therapist.
You would think, right? No. I need you to work the erogenous zone today. All right. Wow. So one of the jobs I had when I was in high school. This is all about one of the jobs that I had when I was in high school. The erogenous zone. So when I was in high school. So again, people say, all right, 30
sounds like
jobs,
a club.
Right.
The
erogenous zone. I need you to work it. One reason I've had the 38 jobs, this many jobs is, you know, like there's a lot of hustle involved in that. Like I didn't have growing up and I needed. So I worked, and this is one of the reasons why I've had like 38 jobs or leads up so many. This is a time period when I was 16. I was 16 years old. I was a junior in high school and I had three jobs at the same time and they were all at the same mall. And I worked all three of these jobs. And one job we've already talked about, it was one of the first episodes, was Champ Sports. So I was, I told the story about that before, about the first Champ Sports. I worked at three different Champ Sports because I moved areas and I stayed with them, but I count that as one job. Well, I was in West Tampa, then my mom moved to Lakeland, and then I moved to Brandon. I mean, golly, I was good enough that they kept me at all those spots. But, when I was in Lakeland, the Lakeland Mall, I was working at Champ Sports and I wanted to have more money. I got out of school. I went right to the mall and I had a job. Every day I was working. I worked two jobs on Saturday and two jobs on Sunday and they would alter, but I was every day in the mall working, making money, trying to save, trying to give to mom and everything. So this was one that I had at the same time when I was working at Champ Sports. And it was Spencer's Gifts. So, did I ever tell you I worked for Spencer's Gifts?
No.
Dude, that was such a, that was such a weird.
Wow.
So, Lakeland, Florida, for y'all that don't know. All right. So it's in between Tampa. Tampa's not like huge, but people know Tampa and people know Orlando. And this is like a medium small city in between both of them, right? Where it's like, you know, there could be between two, cities, there's rule, right? And there's a lot of rule. And then, that's between Tampa and Orlando. And then out of the rule, they're like, we want to be a city too. So they're growing up, you know, they're
Lakeland's a thing now. Dude.
It's now, but this
it's
is
a thing
in,
now. Bro.
Yeah. Now, but this is like in the year 2000, yeah. Right? Oh, in the year 2000, it was, I mean, there was nothing to do over there. There was a curfew for teens at like 9 PM. Like
right.
There was, I mean, and I lived over there. Anyways. So I was working at Lakeland Mall. And what was funny about that is at that time in Lakeland Mall, there were a lot of the employees in the mall are like teenagers, right? So those are the people I more noticed with throughout the mall, the different people, you know, working, getting to know. And there were of all the there were a handful of Black and Hispanic, a handful, right? And it just happened to be that me and another guy, we were just the loudest. So like everyone in the mall knew us. Like, because it was almost such a, like, standout. It was such a standout. And on top of it is my buddy. It was so
sounds like an offshoot of Mallrats coming here.
A little bit. And my buddy who worked for the third job that we're not going over yet, but anyways, he knew how to break dance. So I would always get a bunch of like cred off of him because I would make him break dance in the middle of the mall and be like, that's wow. my boy. So it was wow. fun time. So anyways, I'm working at Lakeland Mall. I'm at Lakeland Mall and I'm working at the Spencer's Gifts. And it's weird. I mean, just think about all the weird stuff at Spencer's Gifts, you know, and I'm a teenager, right? I'm 16 and I'm in it, you know, I'm in it selling the stuff. And, I'll get to the Roger Stone in a little bit, but that is the time during this job, where I had my first, I would say stalker. It was a girl that went locally to school. I was in a different city going to school driving. So I didn't know any of the teens in the mall really outside of, you know, just in the mall. But this girl, she was a customer and she started talking to me and she started following me. Like she was waiting by my car when I would, and this went on for a few months. Then she found out the other place I would work, she would come and visit me like constantly.
Mallrats meets Basic Instinct. Right?
Dude, it was weird. Like she would wait out by my car. So, you know, I had to close down and stuff like that.
Hey, you getting out of 9 to 9? Oh, yeah. Me too.
And I just wanted to, you know, say hi and see you. I'm like, oh, cool. I gotta go because I've got school tomorrow. And so should you. Like I had zero interest in her, but Spencer's one time, she came in and I was standing next to like a display box that had like stuffed animals or whatever in it. You know, it's made out of wood. And I'm just standing next to it and she's trying to be flirty. She's like, well, I gotta go. Are you gonna miss me? And I was like, yeah. She's like, oh, come on. And she went to like flirt and hit me with her knee and she completely missed and she hit that freaking box so hard, dude. It was thump and like it moved the box. I was like, oh my goodness, are you okay? And she's so embarrassed. She's like, no, I'm fine. And she looks down, blood is just, bless her heart. Wow. It's bleeding. Amy, it's bleeding. And she's like, oh, I guess I'm not. But it was like, I was like, I got my manager. My manager at that, he's like the assistant manager. He's pretty cool. He's like in college. And I'm like, hey man, hey, this is what happened. He's like, the first thing he said was, did you apologize? I said, no. And it wasn't. And he was like, yeah, because liability, blah, blah, blah. And I wasn't thinking liability.
That place had a manager?
Oh, wait until I get into the manager. Dude, the manager was, oh, that was so funny. Yeah. But anyway, so she bled. I mean, she was bleeding. She had to go get stitches and everything. Absolutely. I was like, I didn't apologize because it wasn't my fault. I did not. So yeah, that was, that was fun. That was my first and only stalker.
I only remember going to Spencer's to like go all the way to the back to either get like band shirts or posters. That was it. Like, and then you had like some laughs in between on the way, but they always put it in the back.
Yeah.
Other than that, only time I remember, especially younger, buying anything from Spencer's is like, if your mom or if my mom or dad were like buying like a gag gift for somebody,
yeah,
you know, that's where you go to Spencer's.
Here's a cane with a horn on it.
Yes, so stupid.
And a rear view mirror.
Yeah.
Coming through.
And of course you're like 8 years old, you know, right. 7 years old, and your mom's taking her to buy something funny, innocent like that. And you're like, hey mom, what is this underwear with this thing sticking out?
Yeah. What's this thing, mom?
What are these handcuffs for? Why are they fuzzy?
So,
what kind of police use these?
Oh, is it this police outfit with that? So,
what's this leather for?
What's this leather? Why is this a place for Indiana Jones? There's a lot of whips.
You gotta miss those mall jobs, though. I was thinking about that the other
absolutely,
day.
Absolutely, man.
You know, like it. It was the stupidest job ever, but it was so easy.
Yeah.
It was so easy.
Whatever. All the moms.
No stress.
Yeah, no stress.
A lot of stress.
No stress. And yeah, if you were stressing, then you were doing it wrong. And I stressed on things because I was doing it wrong because I was a teenager. I didn't know with the knowledge. So that manager, she was a little like, okay, she would be the mom that you'd hear about in high school who would be like, well, if you guys, I'd rather have you all here and drink rather than going, okay, that one. Okay. Well, but she wasn't that one. She was the one who'd be like, well, if you guys are going to smoke weed, you guys are going to be, And you know, we're thinking now these are teens and these are, this is 2000. This is 22 years ago. I mean, this is, what, you know, that, I mean, that's when there was legalized marijuana. No, you know, that was, but so it was like that type of mom, that was her. And because she, that was, she would do that. And there was, her daughter's best friend worked there. And she was like a closing manager, or like assistant or lead or whatever. And she was flirting me. We were flirting back and forth. And she told me, I'm not going to get so late. She told me some, she was very forthcoming with some things that she said that she wanted to do. And I was like, oh, okay. And I denied that. She went and told her best friend that I was like trying to really like do something really messed up with her. And I was like pushing myself on her. This, I'd been working for this job for 2 or 3 days, maybe like 3 days, like way early. And I don't think she knew the type of kid I was, or like her mom knew, cause she was older than me. That girl was 18 years old and I was 16. And, because she was able to close. So anyways, her mom comes to me and she's like, so listen, you know, so-and-so told me this, 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 and this, and yada, yada, yada. And I said, all right, And she's like, so I just need you to stop saying that. I need you to apologize to her. But I was like, listen, the only person that's going to apologize right now, I feel, is going to be you apologizing to me. None of that happened at all. You need to get this in check. You need to get this in check. I said, your manager went ahead and approached me like this. I mean, I laid it all out. I said, so respectfully, I'm not going to work with her again. Dude, she did not work there for like more than a month. I was like, done. I'm not going to. I was like, haha. But, and her mom, and the manager at that point was cool with me. Why not? Why not? So let's see what else happened there.
Spencer.
Oh, the erogenous zone. Okay. So the erogenous zone. So, and this is now, this gives you the idea of like how the mom is, right? 16 years old, right? And you said when you go straight to the back, there was the band t-shirts. You got all how many neon posters did you buy? Don't lie. Did you have any neon posters?
I don't know, dude. My dad really didn't let me have like crazy posters.
Oh, that's right.
Like, I put a White Zombie poster up one time and it said, it was the album like, Love, Drugs, and Other Synthetic Delusions of the Electric Head. I had no idea what that meant. My dad came home one day. He's like, we're not into synthetic delusions. Ripped it off the wall. I'm like, they just look cool and grungy.
Yeah, I don't know what's happened.
Yeah,
not sorry. Taking us to hell.
Ripped it up. I mean, I just put it up there. I bought that blue putty stuff. You know,
you're gonna do it just like the teachers do it.
The crease out of it. You know, the crease is the worst. You know, so I think I maybe had one or two in the middle. Yeah, I had Rob Zombie's looking all like.
Yeah. Oh man, you're like.
We're not into synthetic delusions.
We're not.
I had to look it up.
You're like, what's a synthetic delusion?
I had to look it up.
That hooked me up with a synthetic. We're not in here. Yeah. I didn't know. I didn't know where that's not the family we were. So when you went past in Spencer's to get back to like the black light area, there was always a couple rows and it had like the body lotions, the edible chocolates, the edible panties, all this other. And that area was called the erogenous zone.
Oh, wow. Like by the store or like
by the store.
Okay.
By the store. Like that's what like in the internal.
Perps in the erogenous zone.
We got a perp in the erogenous zone in the easy. We got a perp in the easy. Over.
Oh my goodness.
So here I am, 16 years old. Do you remember they also, they sold costumes, right?
Oh yeah. So around Halloween, you'd go there.
What
too,
is the most iconic costume at Spencer's Gifts? I wonder if this is just in my mind, but the most iconic costume.
It's probably, I mean, I would say the Scream mask.
Oh, that's probably it. You're probably right. You're better. I was going to say the pimp outfit. I would, wouldn't I? I freaking would say the pimp outfit. Okay.
I was going to say the French maid.
The French maid. So the pimp outfit.
Actually, the French maid.
Yeah, probably too.
It might be.
The pimp
outfit. For many reasons.
That's what I wore, the French maid outfit. So I wore the pimp outfit, and it was like the big purple and yellow, you know, cheetah jacket with the hat and everything. And then she would let me wear that and walk around, and I could be a persona. And she allowed me to be a persona of a pimp and say what I want, as long as it wasn't like too crass or I didn't curse. So I was like, hey, my 16-year-old self would walk around Spencer's and be like, hey, girl, we're going to help you find. I got you. And she fed into, she's like, absolutely. So when, so I would wear the pimp outfit on like the weekends. And, on the weekends, mainly on the weekends, there wasn't much in Lakeland, but what there was is there's a university there. So it was almost like a little college town. So like all the people from the university there, they come out to the mall, you know? So on the weekends, and she would say, Aaron, I want you to work the erogenous zone. So she wanted me to be in that area because everyone had their own different, you know, front, middle, back, you know, different areas. And it was Aaron. So
wait, are you talking about the erogenous zone still?
Yeah. Hold on. So this is, I want you to understand, this is, I'm 16 years old. This is the mentality of the manager at that, an adult with an 18 year old daughter, right? She goes, she would have me run the erogenous zone. And why? Because I would flirt with the other college girl. I'm 16 there. I would just flirt, especially you put me in a pimp outfit. I'm like, you know, you don't know who I am. I'm in costume. I'm in character. Yeah. So she said, work the erogenous zone and sell those girls all that stuff in there. So she would have me, a 16-year-old, and of course I'm leaning into it. So I would take like the chocolate and they would just, now these are also adults doing this to a 16-year-old. This was a job that I had, dude. Now tell me that's not ridiculous. Tell me that's not like that. That's pretty insane, right? For a 16-year-old to have that responsibility.
it's as ridiculous as, I mean, back in the day, Spencer's
was basically an adult store in the back.
Spencer's would be like, if you're like, man, where can I get an 8-ball? Right. We're going to get a magic 8-ball. I need a magic 8-ball. I'm pretty sure that's why Amazon was started. You know, Jeff Bezos got tired of going in and buying, like, you know.
Dude.
He's like, I need to buy this crap online.
Any scavenger hunt, you can find 90% of the stuff at Spencer's. It doesn't matter the scavenger hunt. Just go to Spencer's. Are they still open?
They are. That's all what we get. Yes. We were at the mall last weekend. And yeah, in fact, we walked down there because that side of the mall is just abandoned. It's sad. It's like abandoned. Sears left and it's just like a couple of like cousins that are staying around, you know, like, hey, where's Sears go?
You got it's Lens bad. Crafters.
It's bad. It's bad.
I think Claire's even bounced out. I'll sell my earrings elsewhere.
We're walking down there and I'm like, yeah, it's Spencer's. And I'm like, I thought to myself, I'm like, I don't really need a magic 8-ball, so let's keep walking.
Or do you? You need to go find that magic 8-ball.
No, I get my magic 8-balls on Amazon.
On Amazon now. Look at you. You're knocking out large companies.
Spencer's was good. Remember those like bead, like, you know, those necklaces? They were just like these silver balls, you know?
The hematite?
Yeah, that I'm pretty sure the best place to get that back in the day was Spencer's too. That,
oh, absolutely.
Slammers and Pogs, dude, you know?
If you wanted a lava lamp.
Dude, Spencer's. I'm telling you, that's why Amazon was started. He's like, people don't want to be seen in public buying this crap. It needs to be sent to their house.
Discreetly. Jeff Bezos was into some freaky stuff at Spencer's, and he was like, I know there's a market out there. Yeah. There's a market out there.
Mail the bail person will never know.
Oh, that's so funny, dude. What else can you only find at Spencer's? During that time period, in like the early 2000s, before Amazon, what is it that, like, I don't know. I'm just trying to think. What could you, like?
I mean, definitely like neon signs.
Neon signs, definitely.
There was definitely like some sort of jewel, piercings, that kind of stuff, like piercing jewelries. Yeah.
I forgot to tell this story. Thank you for reminding. Yeah. So I pierced ears. Okay. Hold on. No, at Spencer's.
I can't imagine me doing that.
I didn't exactly pierce ears. I pierced an ear. Okay. So this girl comes up with her parents. The girl's like 12 years old. She's getting her ears pierced, right? I've been working there for maybe a month. And that one really cool assistant manager was on the clock. And I said, oh, hey, Mike, do you want to she wants to get her ears pierced. He's like, oh, okay, I gotcha. And I said, well, can I do it? He's like, have you ever done it before? I go, no. No. And he go, no, I said yes, because during training you had to just do it one time, not to anyone, but just, he's like, so have you ever used a gun? I said, yeah, yeah. I was just excited to get that ear pierced. And he goes, okay, well, cool. So, remember, you've got to go ahead and mark the ear. And I did not remember that I had to mark the ear. So I was like, oh, so he took that over. He was like, I put a little mark there. And I go, so, all right, we got the little gun in there. And he was like, yep, just go ahead. He said, just go ahead and squeeze it and you're good to go, dude. Okay. If you were to squeeze it, how do you squeeze it? Show me how you squeeze it. It should be right, yeah. Right, right. Okay. Not this.
Yeah.
Dude, I just went click, 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 click. And she went.
Oh, my goodness.
We had to talk her into getting the second one done. She was like, she didn't cry. She was like, no, I'm good. She was trying to be so sweet. I was like, oh, my bad. Oh, and I didn't know. I was like, something's wrong, because I didn't click it all the way, so it wasn't springing back. So I was like, I don't know what's going on. So it was dangling at her ear for a few seconds. Yeah.
Jeez.
Yep. That was I did. We had to talk her back into it, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna do this.
Yeah. I just remember it being a hodgepodge of like just gag gifts and it was always kinds of coffee mugs and dirty cards, you know, like stuff that they wouldn't have at like Walgreens. Like,
no.
But it was like dirty cards.
It was always the guy with no shirt.
Pam? You know? What do you need for your birthday, Pam? A card full of dudes and dogs, you know. Yeah.
That's Christmas. Like, this ain't your normal Santa. No shirt.
Yes. Santa's got a long stocking. What? It's just, and like you opened it up and like something folded out of it.
Happy holidays.
Mom, what is this? Mom, what is this? Stop, I'm trying to get an over the hill gift for your grandparents. Stop it.
The cane with the horn? Or the cane with the mirror?
Excuse me, do you know where the cane with the horn is?
Yes, ma'am.
What was the number one requested item at Spencer's, dude?
Oh, the number one requested item at Spencer's.
What do you mean you guys don't have any more chickens at...
Dude, I've gotten that before.
Where else am I supposed to find a whoopee cushion? God, I wish there was a place that sent this to me online.
Dude, you know what's funny? The funny thing was that I remember at that time that it was so many requests and like we were out of it so much was Magic the Gathering cards. That's the only place. Dude, Magic the Gathering. Where are you going to go? Yeah. Spencer's. Yeah. All right. So let's go ahead. All right. Rhett, thank you so much. I think these are some great stories. I definitely want to have you back on. We've got so many more stories. I know you've got – I'd like to maybe even have another episode where you're on and we discuss one of the jobs like together. Like with Mario, me and Mario talked about the same job that we worked at the same time the whole episode. Maybe we do something like that for the next time you're on, man. I'd love it. Yeah. So one thing we like to do to round up is talk about any life lessons maybe you've learned from your story or some type of, you know, something that you're able to pull away from it.
Dude, no question. You know what it is don't be scared. Don't be scared, man. I mean, don't be scared. I mean, yes, I was fearful for my life when I was hawking speaker. No, but God has blessed me massively, you know?
Yeah.
I'm way better than I deserve. You put that out there first and foremost. God has put me in positions to have experiences that, have taught me that you're always going to have adversity.
Mm-hmm.
It's never going to stop. You're always going to have a customer,
right?
You're always going to have a boss. And so somebody you're working for and working with, you're always going to have coworkers, just all that stuff. So, you know, the more you can be exposed to different experiences, you know, and I know now everybody's quitting the job every 5 minutes, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I understand the frustrations and the opportunities that are out there. So, But yeah, I mean, from an early age, I wanted to learn about all kinds of different stuff, and really just kind of taught me what I didn't want to do, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
But I've been able, I think, to take something out of every one of those jobs. And so, yeah, that would be my suggestion, you know, for people. I mean, and I, you know, I didn't finish college. I went, you know, got quite a bit of credits. I don't know what they're good for, but you know, you know, so,
yeah, Pac-Man.
Pac-Man. Yeah, I don't know what they're for, but, you know, it helped me get some licensing and stuff like that. But, you know, I was trying to, you know, advance my career as much as I could. But, yeah, I mean, it's just get experience doing different things. And the other thing is you just meet different types of people, different type of characters. I mean, honestly, the dude buying speakers from somebody off the side of the road, you know, is different from the customer in the restaurant, is different from, you know, somebody who's building a retail center,
right.
you know, is somebody who's, I feel like, you know, once again, being in those situations, being exposed to that, it really is character building. You know, we try to, you know, instill that on our kids. You know, it's hard. It's such a different, a landscape now for them and the way they interact with humans.
Absolutely.
You know, and how we have it better off and are able to help them not maybe have to work. But, mm-hmm. you know, the reality is, man, as soon as you can, even if it's part-time stuff, just, you know,
start learning the value of
learning to deal with a boss, learning to deal with a coworker, learning, you know, the value of making the money, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, that would be what I would say. I mean, I'm not sure if that answered your question exactly.
No, that was awesome, bro.
This is stuff I try to tell, you know, my daughter, my son. He's like, well, I don't know what you're saying. Yeah. I speak Spanish, you know that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sorry.
Oranges? If you can't hear, what are you doing? Is that
naranja,
por favor. So, that is awesome. That's wonderfully put. A lot more than what most say, and I think that's good. It's poignant. Awesome. The one thing I was able to take away from Spencer's is to just, you know, stop trusting people. You just gotta stop. No, just kidding.
I'm like, wait a minute.
What can undermine what you said? Like, what I learned from Spencer's is
humans suck.
You know what? Take your time. Don't get any experience. Yeah. You know, just have a good time. No, what I learned from Spencer's is
how to not pierce.
You know what it adds on? It adds on to different times in the future where I've had to have that confidence to say no or to, and there was a lot of issues I ran into. Like at a certain point, I stopped saying, look, I want to, cause I was getting more annoyed with it. I didn't want to be the token Hispanic, And I was like, they were like, Aaron, work the erogenous zone. I shall not, you know, not anymore, you know, but it did teach me to, you know, it doesn't matter adult or not, you know, if someone is taking advantage of you, then, you know, speak your mind and, you know, don't get taken. Awesome.
Yeah.
Rhett, I love you so much, man. Thank you so very much. I can't wait till you come on the podcast next time. All right.
Yeah, dude, anytime, man.
Everybody out there in computer land, thank y'all so much. See ya. Oh, come back, Mike. Micro, we need you here. All right, good.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.